Hi, and welcome to another episode of Walleye Chronicles, where we sit down with you and talk to you about how fishing has changed your life and how it's made you the person you are today. Today, I have a very special guest, Mr. Ryan Foster of Crazy Eyes Guide Service with me today. How you doing, Ryan?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
So, wanted to get right into it. Where'd you grow up?
Grew up right here in the Fox Valley.
So, grew up fishing Winnebago, Fox River?
A lot on the Fox River, actually. Section between Sunset Park there and College Avenue Bridge.
Okay.
My grandma lived right there on the river, so all summer long, that's all we did was catch bass.
Nice. So do you remember your very first fishing experience?
Oof. I don't know. I just remember getting yelled at for always twitching my bobber from dad, telling me to stop twitching the bobber, you're not going to catch any fish, and always getting yelled at as you'd see him and grandpa casting a MEPS number 3 spinners on those Zebco 33s.
Right.
Grandpa had like that red rhino rod. And just remember, we've got our lake up north. Those guys just putting a clinic on where we're sitting with me and my brothers with a bobber next to the boat. Like, come on, we want to have some fun too. But that's probably the earliest one that I can remember.
So when did you first get to do something other than the bobber action? Did the twitching work though? I mean, twitching would work though,
It did. We caught a lot of nice perch, and I mean, there was a lot of nice perch, bluegill, actually a lot of sunfish too. So we were kind of like the ones that caught all the bonus fish. So it worked out. It's just, you see them catch fish. We've got a private lake up there that it's just a blast to get out and catch the size northern that in that lake. So sitting there as a kid, it's like, we want to do that. But, between there, with my dad, and then on my mom's side of the family, my grandparents had a place in Fish Creek. So we were always pushing yachts away from the dock all the time and sitting there just dropping down bobbers, catching perch there. I mean, we probably desecrated the perch population in the bay back in our youth age. So
I'd be killing them in there.
We had a blast. It was cool. I mean, that's the only thing we really asked for was worms. My grandparents would and my mom would be going out doing things and shopping. I mean, it's like, hey, we just want some worms. We're going to go bang on the docks for a while and... Right.
They just drop you off and done.
We walked out the back door and we ran Fish Creek Harbor. Like everyone knew us. So
no one was kicking you off the docks like nowadays and no signs up saying, nope, you know, get out of here.
Everyone knew us and everyone was actually really nice. So as far as I can remember looking back, I don't think there was ever a time where we got yelled at by anyone for being by a boat. So
when did you get your first boat?
I was 12.
Okay.
It was 11. It was a 12-foot like modified V with a 1959 Evinrude 10 horsepower.
Nice.
Boat that my grandma bought for us for Christmas. We took Hunter.
Was it new or used?
No, it was new. It was used. We got it from some person lake in, I think it was like in Hortonville, the mill pond right there, whatnot. Okay. We got it for Christmas because we were going through boater safety. So we were 11 years old, and by the time we turned 12, like that next summer, we had a boat. So that's all we did. So instead of us running up and down the shoreline on the Fox, we actually got to actually go all over the place. So then we were sitting there mowing lawns make money. So we get a trolling motor, then we needed a battery. And I mean, that was what we did all summer long until, man, probably till I was 16. Oh. And she actually ended up having another boat she bought for the family that it was a tri-haul that we actually turned into a fishing boat. We put a nice casting deck up front and same thing. It was like all we wanted to do, but now we got into like Winnebago and we're going up to the bay playing a little bit more because now I could drive.
Yep.
So we're just kind of dabbing in it, trying to figure things out.
That's cool. So when you had that first boat, what was the first place that you went to? Was there like place that you were stuck on shore all that time? Like, oh my God, I can't, we'll get a boat. We're going to go here, 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 and here.
The first place that we took it besides Sunset Park, that we left it to stay there, Door County.
County.
Yep. And I grew up fishing the islands right outside of Fish Creek. So, I mean, back from when I was a kid sitting there from us catching bass to catching walleye, not having a clue what we were doing or really any electronics. We had a hummingbird on the side of the boat with like a stick that was on there with a clamp. Yep. We had no idea that we took from dad that ran off I mean, it was awesome. Like, we thought we were pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Was there any, like, was it better on the other side? Like, when you got off on the boat, or like, you thought it would be so much better? Like, you always think, like, oh, if I go and go across the lake, it'd be better. Was it like that, or it was just kind of different versions of fishing?
No, we just like to burn gas. You know, it was always cool, you know, just...
the ride?
You know how it is. You go over there, you got to go the furthest spot, and then when you go to the next spot, it's the furthest one away. You just can't, like...
Always the next one.
Yep. That's why it's like, you guys need to stop running around so much and just fish the shoreline. So we'd go up and just drift the whole shoreline down, run back up, drift the whole shoreline down.
So you're in the river. Was what modifications did you do that first boat? Did you guys change it up? I'm not pretty much running how it was.
No, it was ready to rock and roll besides putting a trolling motor on the back of it.
That was your next, your biggest thing you had to have that right?
Yeah, we had I think my dad had one that was laying around from up north because they didn't want to paddle on our lake. Our lake's really weedy, so they actually, someone had one in the family. Okay. Somehow we got our hands on it. It was all done
big
from
borrow them. And steal.
Yeah, we took it. It's like, we're claiming this.
What about equipment? Poles, you mentioned Zebcos. When did you change over to open-faced?
I think that was probably about the same time. If you remember I think it was a Kmart that was on there in Kimberly?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we were always in the fishing section over there, or the bait shop down on County Road Z there at the bottom of the hill. That guy ran the fishing tournament for Sunset when they had the Paper Fest. So we'd always get in that, and that's kind of how we got to know him. So like summertime, like that's what we did. We needed bait or stuff. We'd either go to Kmart. If they didn't have it, we'd go the extra couple blocks, go down the bait shop, get our stuff, and you know, come back. We'd cut lawns, and it actually got to the point where my grandma, still kind of to this day, where she would make us go golfing. To where
take a day off? Or?
No, we didn't want to go golf. She made us golf. She's like, Friday there were members at the club out in Freedom, so Fox Valley Golf Course. So we'd have to go to junior golf, and we're like, no, we want to go fishing. And she's like, if you guys don't go to golf, I'm taking your boat away for the week. So it's like, oh man, we got to go golf 18 holes. Like, how miserable is this? So we're getting private lessons. My brothers and I are out there golfing. It was a good time. And I mean, we really appreciate it, especially now and how much we know about golf, and would like probably go back and get some of those lessons back. But, you know, it was just funny.
Maybe have something to do on blow days now.
Yeah, now it's go do that. But even with them like being in Door County and having their place up there, I mean, I've golfed probably almost every golf course in Door County. Nice. And it's like, no, we don't want to do that. We just want to go sit there and catch perch. Like, leave us alone.
That's crazy. So so fishing was pretty much in you the whole time.
It's always just been a passion for my brothers and I, that mostly my middle brother, Ben, that we did the most. But once we got the boat and stuff and just the friends in the neighborhood, I mean, that's all we ever did was run down to the dock and we'd sit there and fish. And
was there a rivalry between you guys? I love bigger fish, all that kind of stuff. Who's catching what?
There still is to this day. I mean, where everyone's still, but no, we're always just with that tournament. I mean, kind of go back to that Sunset fishing tournament. That was kind of like the biggest thing, is because we were the youth division in it, to where the youth could take over the adult, but the adult couldn't take over the youth. So here we are, and it'd be myself, my brother, best friend, Gary, Justin. I mean, we would take over all the categories. So everyone gets so mad at us. So, I mean, like, it was like our thing. Like, all right, we got both bass on youth and adult. So, like, all right, let's go walleye fishing. So we're going for the walleyes. Then it's like, all right, let's go for the bass. I mean, like, that was kind of our thing, to where we were just trying to take the whole board over, everyone get mad at us.
That's pretty cool. So was there any, like, any fights or anything like that? Any fishing fights related to where you want to go? Are you in the boat? Did you ever go with the boat and it's already gone? Brother, take it out?
No,
you guys always,
not that I can remember. I mean, my brother and I always fought as kids, but not that I can think of.
No fishing related battles?
Not that I can think of. I know we threw a lot of fists back in the day, but I don't think we ever threw fists in the boat that I can remember, but I'll ask when we get done with this.
So what's the first lure you remember buying?
Ooh, I think it was like the 5-pack of those MEPS spinners that they had. It was black with the yellow on top of it. I remember, like, well, I think I got it from Kmart there. Walked in, I was like, you know, this is what we need, because that's what Dad was casting up north for the northern and stuff.
And that was was that your favorite lure growing up, kind of, or no?
It was between that and a Trixie. Trixie's actually a salmon bait that, because the one hook on the back was weedless, so we could actually use that on our lake up north. So we're always going back and forth between salmon baits and the spinner baits.
So bass. Early you had it in you to figure out little things you could take and move and stuff to catch fish. So was there ever a time when you were younger, when you're 13 or whatever, 11, 12, 13, where you thought that you're going to be, that this, you wanted a career in fishing?
I honestly really didn't even know about how competitive fishing was until I was 18 years old, or besides like the sunset fishing tournament, mm-hmm. or, you know, you'd see a really big sparkly Ranger. It's like, man, I want that as a kid. Like all the other kids are looking at cars and I'm like, dude, check that boat out.
Right.
To where that just kind of gravitated towards me, as a child and throughout my youth and still today, it's like, ooh, pretty sparkly right. boat. Like check that out.
It's funny when I'm driving on the highway and I see one, it's always who's out fishing today?
Did you see that Ranger 621 with the hummingbirds on it with the right. Lowrance and it had the power poles? And like,
right.
what?
Right.
Car drives by, like, check out that Mustang. I'm like, huh?
Right.
Like,
there goes a V10.
Yeah. Cool. but like, no, that was, until I was really into my senior year of high school, there was actually a National Walleye Tour, or it was actually the PWT came to town mm-hmm. there in Winnicotty. My grandparents actually, when I was 18 years old, they sold their place in Fish Creek and bought a place in Winnicotty. So I was like, man, I'm like, we can go to Winnicotty any day. Like you can't stay in Door County every day. So the fishing was way better yep. up there. But then I found out that the tour was coming to town and I actually wanted to sign up. So I signed up as an amateur cause I knew nothing about it.
Yep.
I got a screaming deal on a bass boat from a guy that was going through a divorce in Fremont. So here I am, I got this 18-foot bass boat with a 175 Suzuki motor on the back of it. And I'm sitting there just running around Bago catching walleyes with it, having a blast. I sign up, I get in this fishing tournament, and it was 2 days later, I got out of that. I went and bought my first Skeeter walleye boat and was like, I want to fish competitively.
You were hooked.
I was hooked. Like, just love the competition, the camaraderie, like looking up to these guys, their sponsors, their rigs. Like, it was just so much different than it is today.
Right.
To where all I wanted to do.
So what about being, do you ever think about being a guide back then?
Honestly, no, I didn't really even think about it or even really know much about it at the time.
Did you ever use guide service when you were younger?
No, my grandma actually sent me on one in Door County one time. They had something they wanted to do and she's like, you want to go on a salmon trip? I'm like, hell yeah. So we went out and we did that. And it was just myself. There was a full boat. There was these five people on it and they sat inside the cabin the whole time. It was raining. It was miserable. And the crews were cool. They were like, let me help set up stuff, reel lines That's in, cool. put lines out. I mean, they ran the riggers and the rest of the stuff, but they picked cards and I had the last card. So, and the fishing was slow and the two people came out. Well, finally the rod went off and they just gave it to me. Well, I ended up catching like three fish that day and they were all mad on the boat that I was catching these fish and the crew's like, you guys are inside. You don't even care. Like this right. kid's out here. So they get to take the fish. I didn't even care about that point. Yeah, but no, like that was my only experience that I had with the guide at that time. It wasn't until later that I got into actually tournament fishing. And then you'd start to find out who's who and mm-hmm. people that are guiding on the side and whatnot. And one of my best friends, Jeff, actually was guiding at the time. He's like, you know, you should really look into becoming a guide. You're really good at it. And you're good with people. Like, oh, okay. Right. So that was before, like, you can get your guide license out of a Cracker Jack box like everyone right. can do now. There was only a handful of guides on the Bay mm-hmm. Green Bay. So guiding 15 years ago to what it is now, it's not even close to the same.
Is it like the difference between electronics 15 years ago? Is it that much difference?
It's a lot different.
Is it?
Yeah. Especially you got face space where everyone's on there. Everyone's blasting their business and promoting themselves and look, I can catch a fish, compared to back then with the amount of guides that were out there, mm-hmm. everyone really kind of worked and got along and stuff like that to where these days now it's just not quite the same.
Not quite the same. Think I'll ever get back to the fun days or is it too much?
I still enjoy it. I still have great clients. I still have great time on the water with everyone that I fish with, new and old people. So, I'm glad that I'm as established as I was. As the times have changed,
I gotcha.
I think those guides are all probably doing really good. The new ones that come out, you know, they're the ones that are just like we talked about the patch pirates that yeah. kind of have to do whatever they can to get their second of fame.
So what's a patch pirate? For all those who don't know, what's a patch pirate?
I actually just heard the name like seriously 10 minutes ago from Matt to Kyle, but patch pirate's just someone out there that'll do whatever they can to get a little bit of fame, whether it's someone putting a sticker on the back of a car or putting something on their shirt mm-hmm. to either look cool or just get 10% off without really getting anything right. back or even being part right. of the product at all. They just want to be part of the brand.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of it's not helping us as fishermen down the long road if people are willing to take nothing, virtually nothing for recognition.
Right. No, I definitely agree with that. I've lost some sponsors over the year over the time, just because of that fact, where either we were seeking financial, some sort of financial benefit, so mm-hmm. we could use for our tournaments, for our travel, or yep. what other, otherwise, even just baits or whatever we're using from them. And you get someone that's willing to do it for 10% off, and I'm over here receiving a lot more than that.
Yep.
They'd rather give 10% off to 10 people and cut me than have me.
Right.
That's 10 work, right. 10 people out there. When,
and fishing the tournament life is not cheap.
It is not cheap at all. I'm actually seeking for more sponsors. So if anyone's looking, I mean, go ahead, throw them this way.
Check out Captain Ryan.
Yeah. He's send it my way. Sponsors. Blank checks are wonderful. But no, I mean, that's definitely a lot of it. You look at a lot of guys out there. I mean, even as far as just the professional walleye tour back then to what the national walleye tour is today, and mm-hmm. in the circuits, there's a lot less sponsors on boats. I mean, you used to see a lot of
yep.
full wrap boats, and you know, a lot of them more compared to like the bass side of things, where there's a lot of more sponsorships, it seems like, in bass and stuff. And
yep.
It's changed a lot with just guiding the Solnar mm-hmm. and all other advertising and stuff that people are willing to do with Patch Pirate. So I think that kind of all plays a big role in things when it comes down to it.
Right. So, okay, back to fishing now.
All right.
For a little bit. Growing up, what was high school like for fishing? Right. Were you a sports guy? Were you always in, were you doing that stuff? Or did you still make time? Were you always making time to fishing? Was fishing your number one hobby?
No, I was sports. I did football, wrestling, and track. So really didn't get to fish too much during the school year. Maybe weekends we did a little bit. Not that I remember too much. It was kind of like when school got out, like it was time to like run the river and own the river type deal. Because otherwise, as far as programs and stuff after school or sporting events, I was normally pretty busy doing that or chasing girls. So
there you go.
It was kind of one of the two.
Did the boat help for chasing girls at all?
A couple. There was a couple couple times, you know, you'd be able to drive across the river and pick people up from the other side of town and bring them back to where,
there you go.
You know, if we decided to get in some mischief, we could cause trouble on the other side of town and get back to the other side and no one even knew we were there.
Right? That's clever.
We used to park the boat at the cemetery there all the time, and we'd go over the north side of town off Wisconsin, and then we'd come back, we'd be in Kimberly, and they never even knew. It was awesome.
Using the boat, the river to escape.
It was awesome.
So as you got through high school, after high school, when did you kind of turn over to like where it was become all the time, every time? Was there a certain time where you're like, no, I think today I need to do this more often, or work or whatever, I need to start doing this?
It was right after I fished that professional walleye tour. Guys I fished with Kevin Madigan. I fished with John Butts from Canada. And then I fished with another guy from Tommy Docks from Ohio. And I learned something different from all of them, just as far as how to different ways to fish the Winnebago system early in the year. And then just their connections through the people and being around other amateurs that didn't know what we were doing at all,
right.
To even like my third day pro that didn't know what he was doing really at all. We were sitting on Sunset Point in a national walleye tour or professional walleye tour. And I'm like, what are we doing here, dude? Like, this is not where we need to be. It was the first day he was able to catch his 5 limit of fish.
Wow.
And I'm like, hey, we should go try some stuff. I know a couple things. Yep. And he was just content getting his points that we're going to get for the day and going home. So I kind of wanted to learn more about it. And like I said, it was 2 days later. I was on my way to Beloit, bought my first walleye boat.
So how'd you finish that first tournament?
I couldn't tell you. middle of the road. Nothing crazy. Weather wasn't the best. And first day pro taught me a lot about dragging jigs and the wolf and where to go. Mm. Kevin Madigan taught me about dragging spinners over the weeds in Norwegian Bay and stuff, and then talking to kind of their teammates and where they're going. Like, they're really cool as far as like kind of welcoming you in. That's and cool. Not really telling me all their stuff, but you're able to pick up on their lingo from not being from
so the after area. That did you do more tournaments, like more co stuff, or did you get into the pro side?
No, I went to the pro, or I did more of the there was, I think it was a Reagan's or Reagan's beverage tournament over there off of Richmond Street. They always had in Menasha. They always threw a fishing tournament. Well, he owned that. So we kind of got in that right away. That was like how we always kicked off our spring right away, or our summer fishing. And then from there, it kind of went to Merck National and went to Otter Street and kind of just learning things and meeting people. And in the meantime, With that, I got my guide license just because I was out there every day kind of learning right. with my work schedule. I worked half the month, so it was really easy. Plus, I was on night, so I wasn't sleeping at all. It's like, you know, making good money, got a boat. It's like all I did right. do is fish. So bringing buddies out and meeting new people and learning new things. So it's kind of how like all got rolling for me.
Right. And was there ever a thought where you had a rough patch of fishing where you're like, I might have to get a real job?
I have a real job.
Well, I meant like, but full time, like not like you don't have time to fish kind of like.
No. Not that I can really remember. I mean, if anything or recently, with me going through my divorce, that I kind of went through with kind of stepping back from that a little bit, and taking care of business on that side of things. Not that I ever really stepped away or so that I wouldn't continue, just kind of halted things to a little bit to where I wanted to be out there a little more, do more tournaments where I had to take some time off, but
I gotcha.
Understandable.
Right. So what's your worst fishing memory?
Worst fishing memory. I don't know if I have a worst.
You never flipped out on your guide boat like the guy did down in Florida a couple weeks ago?
I haven't had that. I did have a kid. It was actually kind of really weird. This kid was, I don't even know what their names are. So this kid was like a spoiled little brat. Mm-hmm. He's fished marlin all over the place. He's been all around the world fishing. And we were trolling spinners up on the bay. Like it was flat calm. It was just miserable. And every time I handed this kid the rod, he's like fighting a marlin. I'm like, dude, I'm like, you can't reel him in like this. He kept losing fish. The bite was slow. So finally I'm like, just watch. Yep. So finally, and the parents are kind of like okay with this kid just being the way that he is. Mm-hmm. Well, dad is. Mom's sitting up front catching a suntan, which I don't know if they were swingers or whatnot was going on the front of the boat, but it was just like the most awkward guide trip I've ever been in. Cause anytime like I looked at my graph or looked forward, this mom was trying to persuade me, or I don't know what was really going on there. It was just,
I mean, awkward. You're pretty cut for a guide, I'd say.
It was just awkward. But end up catching this kid his fish, everything else. We got done and I was happy to get them off the boat. But then afterwards they invited me out to a dinner with him and her, and it was just kind of like I've stopped at a bar and had drinks, and
yep,
this was just
kinda weird.
There was a lot of red flags to where I was like, am I getting punked right now? Like I don't know what's going on, or like are they both in on this? It was awkward.
That's funny. What about your best day?
Man, my best day. There's a lot. From, you know,
when you're a kid, what was your best day? I remember you as a kid?
Fish with grandpa, probably my best day. There's a bunch of them where wasn't even really necessarily the amount of fish that we ever caught. I just remember the times sitting in the boat with him, talking with him, and kind of just like the life lessons. I was kind of something that started me off when I got into where I am today. Was when I got my first boat after fishing that PWT, I called up my grandpa, and I've always heard, I mean, we were there in Chambers, or sorry, back up. We're in Fish Creek, you know, mm-hmm. I'm always fishing the islands right there, but yep. I didn't ever trust my boat to go to Chambers Island, that little 12 footer. So when I finally got my big walleye boat, I'm like, you know, I want to take my grandpa fishing. Mm-hmm. So I called my cousin Tim. I'm like, hey, let's plan a trip. So we went up to Chambers Island. We're fishing all day. And I really had no idea what I was doing up there, but trying to figure it out, trying to act like a big shot. Grandpa's there. We're having a good time. Well, finally we hook into a fish and it's like the sun's setting and the fish was like a 30 and a half, 31. It was over 30.
Yep.
First 30 in that boat. I think it was like the second or third 30 I've ever seen or touched. And I was all happy. I'm like, Grandpa, you know, you're going to mount it. And Grandpa's like, nah, like we'll put it back and you can catch it next time you come up here. And it took a while to actually like realize like what that actually meant, or he didn't care about the fishing at all.
Yep.
I've fished with him numerous times since then to where he never cared about how many we caught, how big they were, about that he got to take home. It was not that he ever even took fish home. It was just spending the time together in the boat. And
for the full version of this podcast, check out Fix TV. And remember, follow me on the talk at Smile and Fish and everywhere else at Matt Snell.